But then we have this idealism problem. People are so idealistic, they want to pretend like there is no difference in culture, no difference in translation, no difference at all, or that they acknowledge the difference, but that it doesn't actually matter. It's not a big enough deal, and they dismiss it. Anybody who does anything under pure morality usually makes the problem exacerbated and far worse. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed, and my friends, today we're going to discuss the difference between devotion and delusion. Because unfortunately, the two are very mixed together in the modern church, and they're very mixed in the modern society. Now, as much as I would love to come on the show and fix all the world's problems, I'm sure a lot of you gentlemen would as well. Problem is, I can't do that. I don't have the power, I don't have the money, I don't have the proper alliances. So instead, what we're going to do, we're going to discuss the difference between devotion and delusion, because people tend to mix the two together, and in doing so, they lead to creating an unrealistic expectation, one by which a lot of men in particular, ladies, I would love to speak from your perspective, but last time I checked, I don't have the anatomy to do so, and I don't go for the Rainbow Rider garbage. So instead, what we're going to do is we're going to talk from the male perspective today, and we're going to discuss why I believe the rise of Crimson Christianity, which a lot of people might also be referred to as liberation theology. I call it Crimson Christianity. It's the slowly but surely insertion of the socialism, communism, and whatnot rhetoric into the church, usually under the guise of love, equality, diversity, inclusion, all this type of rhetoric that we're hearing and being echoed in society has now found its way into the halls of the church. So before we go into the videos I have prepared for the show today, I would love to invite everybody to share their thoughts, their opinions throughout the show. I don't care whether it's at the beginning of the show, end the show, through a clip in the show that you want to react to. Please, I love reading them. I love to respond to them if you ask me a question or whatnot. I love to see the interactions, and I try to read every single comment that ever comes across this channel. My friends, without further ado, we're going to hop right into it. I will tell you, I don't have to look very hard to find these videos. I really don't. Usually, they show up on my feed, number one, or number two, I look up like, Christianity discussing relationships or whatever, and it's like the first thing that shows up. And even if I have to look that hard, which I normally don't, it's pretty prevalent to find. That's why I use a lot of TikTok, because TikTok is the sewer pipe of the internet. People can argue that X is, but I actually kind of like the freedom of speech aspect, even if I disagree with a lot of the things people say. Speaking of disagreeing with the gentleman, I think all of us are going to disagree with what we're about to hear if we even understand it. So without further ado, we're going to let this female pastor say her piece. Let's hear it out.
The right person at the wrong time is the wrong relationship. Ooh, I'm saving you therapy. Somebody send me a thank you note. The wrong person at the right time is the wrong relationship. The wrong person at the wrong time, that's a real wrong relationship. But the right person at the right time, that is the right relationship. And if you're looking for somebody to validate you or make you whole or fix you, you will be sadly disappointed. The only person that can make us whole is God. In Him we are complete. In Him is the fullness of life. Oh, the significance you crave isn't going to come from a significant other.
Oh my God. Gentlemen, I don't normally apologize, but I gotta apologize. A man wants to find hell as a place where there is no reason. And gentlemen, I think I just dragged us all into hell, and I apologize for that. You know what I find very interesting that I hear more and more? The more we do these shows, the more I listen to this type of content on TikTok and on Instagram, on YouTube, and etc., the more I realize why we're in the situation we're in, the more I realize it's not a surprise why we've ended up in the society we're currently living in. Gentlemen, This is why historically women have not been head pastors of churches. They've not taught men. They've taught other women and children. This is why Paul discussed this. Did anybody actually understand what she said? Because it sounds to me like it was a bunch of gobbledygook that sounded nice, but meant nothing. And if anything, there was the, oh, you know, you got to be as close to God as possible type of argument of like, unless you are Jesus, you can't tell me anything. People will use God as a get out of jail free card. They'll use, oh, he's not living up to the expectations that I have. I mean, God has. I mean, I have. So then therefore he's the problem and I don't have to listen to him. Him being the husband, if they even have one, which a lot of Christian women don't, which is shocking because it's something that has historically not been the case. But gentlemen, the reason I discuss relationships so much on this show is not to bully people. It's not to tell you you should be in one. It's to highlight the reason why so many men are walking away. I don't care if they're spiritual, religious, zealous. It don't matter. Me, I'm a little more on the spiritual side because a lot of organized religion, in my opinion, is a lot of times just a grift for money. Now, I'm not saying every church is like that or every mosque or synagogue or temple is like that. But unfortunately, that's been the history of the Catholic Church especially. And the LDS church, in my estimation. So again, when you have to ask yourself, how do churches like the LDS church or the Catholic church become so wealthy? Oh, I don't know. Is it because they're so faithful and so religious? I don't know. Is it because they give, they're required to give 10% of their stuff to charity or to the church? Aha, maybe. Again, the reason I bring this up is because people tend to use religion and morality when it suits them. They don't want to use morality and religion when it doesn't advantage them, when it holds them accountable, when it puts them in a position where they have to actually do something they don't want to do or be checked on bad behavior. All of a sudden, they can't be bothered for it. All of a sudden, it's nowhere to be found. But when it's but when the devotion is here for accountability, suddenly the delusion pops up and it's like, ooh, yeah, no, it's not actually my fault. It's the serpent's fault. It's the man's fault. It's not my fault. In plain English. And unfortunately, we're seeing another example of this right here. So see, let's see if you can stomach this. And again, I encourage you to leave your thoughts and your comments below because some of you will disagree with me or some of you will go even farther than I will, and I'm here for it. So let me know what you think. Let's listen to what this woman has to say.
Me, as a female, I'm like, how will I be able to be led by you if you can't even lead yourself? And so if you are undisciplined, you can't eat clean, you're not working out, you're not reading your Bible, you're lacking in mentorship or even having an accountability with your community, like that's going to bleed into our relationship and our marriage. And so that's why, like, I'm looking at those things as a female, and every girl should be looking at that as a female. Like, how does he lead himself apart from me?
Oh, my goodness. Gentlemen, let's break this down from start to finish again. I wanted to play that clip in total. Now we're going to break it down and I'm going to be a little ruthless. Let's see.
Me, as a female, I'm like, how will I be able to be led by you if you can't even lead yourself?
Okay, she makes a good point out the gate with that. However, gentlemen, that's not what... We need to not take things at face value. Because, gentlemen, I know that if you're talking with the boys, you can take things at face value. Because men don't have secret passive-aggressive agendas behind what they say most of the time. Women, they do. And so when we need to not look at this as if it's your boy talking to you. This is a woman talking to you. And women just, they operate and speak differently than men do. And I'm not the first person to discuss this. There's a book called The Manipulated Man by Esther Vilar. And she describes this in detail, how women have a secret language. And she's a woman, by the way. Where she's a woman, she discusses that other women have this secret language that they use, especially in the presence of men, so that other women will understand what they're actually saying, and men will fall for the virtue signaling. Let's continue.
And so if you are undisciplined, you can't eat clean, you're not working out, you're not reading your Bible.
I love how she... Notice how the Bible part was last? Everything else had to do with being a Chad or a Tyrone or being handsome and having status, but then the Bible was the last thing. You notice that? It's not an accident.
You're lacking in mentorship or even having an accountability.
I don't know. Accountability. Oh, we want to discuss accountability. Ma'am, first of all, I can't help but notice a lack of a ring on that finger. Just to say that. I mean, or wait, maybe I'm tripping. It is on the left hand. Oh boy, look at that. So she's supposedly married. Okay, well, I'd like to know who her husband is, because is her husband Jad, or is he Mr. Beta Cuck, Mr. Beta Bucks Deluxe? Is that who he is? I would love to see, because like, women don't talk like this unless they're usually A, unhappy in their marriage, or B, they're trying to create Chad into this. See, here's the problem, gentlemen, that I've found and that a lot of other men have found, especially, you know, I don't tote my horn as if I'm this religious sage, because I'm not. There's a guy who grew up in the church who's trying to teach other Christian men what your pastor doesn't have the balls to tell you because he gave them to his wife a long time ago. We need to understand that women are women, okay? There's no such thing as good women, bad women, Christian women, non-Christian women. They're just women, okay? They are just women, and women have the same desires, same needs, and they have the same biological instincts as every other female on the planet. And so when we discuss this from a, quote, biblical context, we need to understand that they don't suddenly say, oh, you know, before I was saved, I wanted Chad, Mr. Rippling Muscles, and Mr. I have a lot of money, I have status. And you might say this is, like, too cynical. I understand that. You don't have to believe me. Go out and test it for yourself. Come back and tell me how your field operations and field reconnaissance went. I'd love to hear it. Because, gentlemen, I wish I could sit here and tell you that relationships are safe, good, women pose no threat, other men pose no threat, you could just walk in, go to the altar, get married, and everything's going to be like the Disney ending of Happily Ever After. Unfortunately, the opposite is true. When we talk about women like this, first of all, she kind of looking like an apex predator. She looking like somebody who has a starter husband, who's going to blame him on the way out and take his stuff and try to upgrade on him. Now, I could be wrong, but that's the vibes I'm getting from this woman right here, okay? When she wants to talk about leadership, discipline, and whatnot, ma'am, where has that been in your life? Because statistically speaking, it's nowhere to be found. Most women don't have a lot of discipline. Most men don't have a lot of discipline. But women even less so, because they can get away with pretty much whatever they want for the most part. So let's continue.
Your community, like, that's going to bleed into our relationship and our marriage. And so that's why, like, I'm looking at those things as a female, and every girl should be looking at that as a female. Like, how does he lead himself apart from me?
See, again, you would be forgiven if you didn't think there was anything disingenuous about that clip. But unfortunately, there is. Now, I'm not saying she's lying to you. I'm saying she's not telling you. She's not going into, she's being very subtle about what she's actually getting at. That's the problem I have. And men, for example, it's like when a woman goes out here and says, there are no good men. Where are all the good men at? Meanwhile, her comment section is full of dudes who would go out with her, but they don't look like the guy she's attracted to. They don't act like the guy she's attracted to. They don't have the look, they don't have the charisma. They don't have the swagger, whatever you want to call it. They don't have the presence of the Chad or the Tyrone or whatever, the guy who imprinted that woman. They don't have it. And so that's why she does not even see those guys. Most do. If you ask a guy and he walks down the street, you want to test a theory? Here, I'll give you a little homework if you want to really test out, and you say, Austin, you're too cynical. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, I'm not going to listen to you. Okay, here, I'll give you a test. You want to try to prove me wrong? Let's do this test, okay? Go to your, I don't care if you live in Los Angeles, California, or the middle of nowhere armpit of Alabama. You take your boy and go downtown and walk down the street. And then by the time you get to the end of it, ask, how many girls we pass by? And then after you do that, take a girl, a friend girl, your mom, your sister, whoever. Go with them, walk down the street, ask them, how many dudes did you pass? I can guarantee you the guy will probably know every woman he passed by because he checked them out. The woman will probably know one or two, if at all, because most dudes were invisible and they weren't attractive and she didn't notice them. That proves hypergamy. That proves exactly what I'm talking about. Now, if you don't believe me, you don't believe other men on this channel who share their stories, I encourage you to go and try that for yourself. In the meantime, we're going to jump into yet another example of why Crimson Christianity is on the rise because of relationships and men are checking out of the church. Let's look at this guy right here and see what he got to say.
I think a lot of people don't realize that in a relationship, you can be with anybody if everything is perfect, because perfect is easy, right? I can be with anybody in the world if they never do anything that I do not like, because that is easy. You have to work at being with a person who's going to also have their own opinions, their own feelings, and their own perspective of things. And even when you disagree, deciding to be with them despite the things that you don't like that they like. And that's a conscious decision that you have to make every day.
Wow. That was painful. Gentlemen, did you notice the woman and how she looked at that man when he was talking? You know, you didn't? Okay, let's go back and let's watch it again and pay attention to her demeanor and her behavior. Watch it again.
I think a lot of people don't realize that in a relationship, you can be with anybody if everything is perfect, because perfect is easy, right? I can be with anybody in the world if they never do anything that I do not like, because that is easy. You have to work
at... Look at this woman. Look at how she's looking at this dude. Like he's a good trained animal. You see this? Look at this.
What?
This is a disgrace. Look at this. Look at her. She is dry looking at this dude right now. Look at this. This guy is not a bad looking guy. He seems like he's a good man. He seems like he takes care and holds down. Look at this woman right here. Look at her. She does not like this guy. Not at all. Look at how she's looking at him. Does anybody disagree with me looking at this right here? She's looking at him like, ugh, this guy. Like he's pathetic. She's looking at him like he's absolutely pathetic. Look at it again. There it is right there.
Oh, hell no.
This is a disgrace. But yet, see, this is the kind of look that a woman gives you when she's about ready to, she's been planning to divorce you, or you haven't had intimacy with this woman in a long time, and she is looking for a sneaky link or somebody else on the side. And if you think this can't happen to you, sorry, it can. Not that it will. But it can. Let's let him continue.
Work at being with a person who's going to also have their own opinions, their own feelings, and their own perspective of things.
Look at this woman. How she looking at this dude? Oh, man. Gentlemen, if your woman is looking at you like this, you are in trouble. Big trouble.
Things. And even when you disagree, deciding to be with them despite the things that you don't like that they like. And that's a conscious decision.
I also love how, let's go to this actual message. Sir, just so you're clear, it is the women who are divorcing the men, statistically speaking. 70 to 80%, 90 for educated women are the ones filing the divorces, not men. So you're preaching to the wrong crowd. It is the women who are divorcing the men, leading the men to then wonder what the hell they did wrong, when in fact they really didn't do anything wrong. She just got bored, wasn't happy, wanted to leave, wanted to go back to the streets. All of these things. And my friends, this is the issue we have. People think that, oh, I go to church, this isn't going to happen to me. Yes. Yeah, it can happen to you quite easily. And people are finding this and it leads them to go a little crazy. And then they end up on channels like mine, channels on this side of the internet. They wonder what's happening. They wonder why. They wonder if they're the problem. And they have to go through these stages of grief. And I don't want you to have to go through the stages of grief, because at the end of the day, it's painful. It's terrible. Some people have to learn the hard way. They got to bonk their head and they got to learn. Other men, they learn from the mistakes of other men and they decide to adjust and adapt to survive. But then we have this idealism problem. People are so idealistic. They want to pretend like there is no difference in culture, no difference in translation, no difference at all, or that they acknowledge the difference, but that it doesn't actually matter. It's not a big enough deal, and they dismiss it. Anybody who does anything under pure morality usually makes the problem exacerbated and far worse. Take Prohibition as an example. During Prohibition, it was the women and the clergy who wanted the men to get rid of alcohol. So what did they do? They got rid of alcohol. Guess what? Black market was immediately created, and the problem got worse. Because now there were underground people bootlegging from England, which is how a lot of people who are now very rich made their money. But you didn't hear that from me. You know, like the Kennedys, allegedly. And like the FDR, you heard of him? Yeah, his family too. But we're not getting into the realm of the political, but that's an example. Another example. During the 19th century, brothels existed in places like Louisiana and in most states as a necessary evil. Guess what? Guess who wanted them gone? Women and the clergy. Guess what happened? They got rid of the red light districts in every city, in every county, in every state in the union. Now, guess what? That led to pimp culture. That led to the escort culture. That led to only fools. That's led to the culture that we now have. Because now men have next to no choice between being in the streets or being married. And marriage is basically the new form of indentured servitude to the system. Because at any point in time, the woman can leave you and you're left with paying child support, alimony, and whatnot to the system, who then knows your location, and you can't move without their permission. They can take away your driver's license, throw you in jail, take your passport, all these things. But again, this is where the delusion and devotion comes in. People who are often very close together, they are often unrealistic and completely unattainable with their belief system, but then they want everybody to follow it under the guise of morality, when in fact, it has nothing to do with morality. It has everything to do with them just wanting control. But of course, if you try to say that to people, they'll gaslight you into thinking that that's not the case. And this is why I don't like organized religion, because a lot of it has to do with power, control, and money, and not with actually saving the souls of men. But gentlemen, you want an example of this crimson Christianity that I speak of? I'll give you no further example than this right here. This is the kind of stuff that you'll hear in a lot of these churches that have rainbow flags hanging outside their doors. Listen to this.
The notion and idea of communism is pretty evident in the New Testament, and it's so perfectly spelled out that in the 2,000 years since it's been recorded, no one has quite been able to describe the idea of communism as Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 45. All those whose faith had drawn them together held everything in common. They would sell their property and possessions and make general distribution as the need of each required. When Jesus says, "Happy are the poor and woe to those who are rich," what he's condemning is the fact that there exists both rich and poor people. It's differentiating wealth that he's attacking. Parable of the rich and the poor man also demonstrates this. The rich man isn't tormented in hell simply because he lived in abundance, but because he lived in abundance while Lazarus lived in misery. 1 John 3:17 reads, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need yet closes his heart to him, how does God's love abide in him?" The West completely messed up Christianity with this fixed notion that some of us are born for a higher standard of living than others. And in doing so, we view this preferential treatment for caring for the poor as an issue of biblical compassion when we should be attacking the fact that poverty exists in the first place.
Well, this is getting weird. I love the poorly educated.
Gentlemen, I am so sorry. That was painful. I will lie. I kind of checked out halfway through that clip because that was bad. So in case you're uneducated, maybe you didn't go to high school, or maybe you went to Harvard and didn't learn anything besides Jenny has two mommies and white supremacy is the biggest problem on earth, you may not be aware, but Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, Vladimir Lenin, Trotsky, Stalin, all these guys, they didn't like religion. They described it as an opium, a painkiller, or people who were stupid. The opium of the masses. You are aware of that, right? Ma'am, just so we're clear, Jesus was not a communist. Okay? Communists deny the very existence of God. So you're telling me that the guy who claimed to be God was a communist?
Oh, hell no!
But this is the kind of stuff that passes for theology today. Look at the garbage that you just listened to. You know, I could spend the next hour of my life refuting every single one of those points because all of them were extremely stupid. But, my gentleman, I'll just attack a couple of them. Number one, charity is not the same thing as communism. Communism is the idea that the state is God, and that for each according to their means, each according to his need. In other words, if you have more, if you have two cows and your neighbor has none, you should give him one because that's fair. And if you don't, then you're a bourgeois capitalist pig. And the problem, it's laughable that someone would even equate Jesus to being anywhere near communism, but this is what happens. This is the kind of stuff we're hearing more in the church. That, you add gender theory, we add the Rainbow Riders with all of their interesting ideas of theology that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, but apparently it's totally fine now. And then we add to the fact that they're equating the rainbow with love when they hijacked that symbol as a promise from God from Genesis. I mean, I could go on and on. My friends, it's this kind of stuff fueled with the subtle dose of feminism from that first female pastor we discussed earlier that is leading men to flee the church and instead join communities like mine, communities on the side of the internet. They're saying, why in the world would I sign up for a community that's using me, that doesn't appreciate me, and that laughs at me and calls me the problem? Why would I do that? That makes no sense. It has nothing to do with God for almost all of it, and it has everything to do with them, you doing what's best for them and not for yourself. You want to talk about leading yourself like that one woman in the other clip we looked at today? What about doing what's right for you when it comes to not giving her something? Oh, she got a problem then, though. Not when it comes to, you know, you taking care of yourself. Oh, but you can't take away something you would have given to her. No, that's toxic. You can't do that. Gentlemen, let me know what you think of the difference between devotion and delusion, because I think too many people mix them together and they create the cocktail of chaos we're seeing in the church today and society today. And we need to discuss this, because if we don't, we're going to let it go by us and we're going to be the silent majority as we already are. My friends, take care of yourselves. Please leave your thoughts and your comments. I'll leave you with just thinking with your brain, not what's below your belt. It'll save your life. My friends, let me know what you think. Please do your own research. Think for yourselves. Out of here. Peace.